Welcome to the H2H Human Connection Done Right Summit, bringing together forward-thinking leaders who understand that true innovation happens when people, process, and technology work in harmony. Lean into this refreshing, energizing experience designed to inspire you with a new approach to a timeless principle. Our speakers will offer fresh insights that will challenge perspectives and spark new ideas.
Hey, my name is Alyssa Nolte, and I'm the CEO of TrueView. And today, I'm going to show you how some of the largest companies in the world predict their customers' next move. They might be bigger than you, have more headcount, or more budget, but the secret to driving great customer experience isn't just about being the biggest or having nearly unlimited budget like some of those tech giants. You can still benefit from the insights that helped them understand their customers more deeply, win more deals, win them faster, and ultimately outpace their competition. But before we dive in, let me give you some quick background. For the last decade, I've spent my career helping companies in the Fortune 100. I've led research and consulting teams across the globe. I've pioneered customer research approaches, and I've helped companies, large and small, change the way they drive value with their customers. And despite all of these incredible experiences, I've got one area that I just can't seem to get it right. If you go to my LinkedIn profile, you'll see that one of my headlines is Notorious Plant Killer. And it's true because every year I buy houseplants, I buy perennials, climbing roses, potted plants. I even have a garden carved out where I was going to grow fruits and veggies last summer. And every year, I never learn. Despite having the plants, I buy them. I have a schedule. I have a strategy. I have all the right tools. I just can't seem to get it right. Because my dreams of a lush green landscape end in wilted leaves and broken promises. Let me tell you how the cycle goes. I buy the plant. I buy the right fertilizer. And I buy some tools to check the pH of the soil. I obsess over which window to place these plants in. And I check it every day. Sometimes multiple times a day. I try to do everything that I can to finally get it right. In fact, I download an app that helps me track the watering schedule, uses AI to analyze the light in my windows, and to remind me to keep my plants thriving and repeat. Then the leaves start to brown, they droop, ultimately they turn black, and I proceed to obsessively Google what I'm doing wrong. I decide that I'm probably overwatering, so I stop overwatering, and then ultimately, I stop watering altogether. I start to swipe away those plant app notifications because, I mean, it's just data that comes from their database. They don't have, you know, a feed into my house. They don't know what my air quality is. It's not live data. It's not real. And you know what? It's probably off by a few days, so what's a few more days of forgetting to water? Well, I keep forgetting, and then I wait a few weeks, and then I remember, oh, yeah, those plants, they need water. And then I overwater, and then I repeat until the plant dies, starting that cycle all over again. And it's easy to say that the reason that my plant died is because I forgot to take care of it for a few weeks. But the reality is, there's so much more that goes into it than that. Neglect, like underwatering or no sun, isn't the only way to kill a plant. Smothering, overwhelming, or obsessing, you know, overwatering or too much sun, is equally harmful. And sometimes it doesn't matter if you do it all right. Sometimes the plant just doesn't work in my environment. The soil is too acidic or doesn't have enough drainage. And even when I do all the right things, the plant still dies. Customer relationships mirror this balance. Too little or too much or just the wrong environment can change the success of our customer dynamic. Let's talk about how this cycle might play out with our customers. We have a new customer. So exciting. Oh, we can't wait to get them on board. So we do our onboarding and we show them our product and we make sure they've got everything they need. They've got the training and the guides and the onboarding videos. And great, we've launched. You know, there might have been a few hiccups, but it's fine. It was a learning curve, right? We get them resolved, they're good to go, they're self-sufficient and using the product. By all metrics, we've got them in the right place and they've got what they need. So we leave them alone for a few months and it's time to move on to that next new customer onboarding. We check in every once in a while on their health score when we think about it. We remember that their renewal is coming up next quarter. So we go in to check their usage stats and realize that they're using the product, but not all of the features. Now, the natural next step is to info dump on them about the great features they're missing out on. We have to show value because we have our renewal in 60 days. So we send multiple emails to the asking for a one-on-one with the decision maker. We want to do a business value review. So we send the contract for renewal and we send a follow-up email to check on the status of the renewal. And we repeat that cycle until you, the customer, or both are totally burned out. If that cycle of customer relationships sounds familiar, you probably fall into one of three categories. And whether you realize it or not, you've already made a choice, even if that choice was to not actively decide. Let me tell you a story about three account managers. Let's call them Alex, Jamie, and Taylor, who each have their own way of handling customer relationships. Alex believes in process. Follow the playbook. Send the same onboarding emails. Schedule check-ins at standard intervals and roll out customer engagement campaigns in bulk. Every customer gets the same experience because the system is designed to scale. But here's the problem. Some customers thrive, some disengage, and Alex has no real way to tell which is which until it's too late. When renewals come up, Alex scrambles to prove value. He's rushing to get customers engaged at the last minute. And some renew and some don't. It's a numbers game. And Alex hopes the batting average is good enough to hit his quota. On the other hand, Jamie is all about gut feel. She's been in customer success for years and prides herself on reading people. She builds deep relationships, she remembers personal details, and she always seems to know when the right time is to check in. But like all of us, Jamie is stretched thin and she can only maintain so many relationships at once. So she prioritizes the loudest customers, or the ones that she feels are the most important. Some accounts get a lot of attention and others unintentionally fall through the cracks. When a customer suddenly churns, Jamie's caught totally off guard. Well, I never hear from them, so I assumed they were fine. That's what you'll hear her saying. She is always playing catch up. And her company just gave her 50 new accounts to be in charge of. Taylor, on the other hand, uses technology to work smarter. He sees that AI isn't going to replace him. Rather, he thinks of it as augmented intelligence. He doesn't rely on a one-size-fits-all approach like Alex, and he doesn't depend solely on a gut instinct like Jamie. Instead, he uses tools to surface the signals that show when a customer is truly engaged or quietly slipping away. Taylor gets alerts when a key stakeholder hasn't logged in for weeks, when product usage is dipping, or when end-user sentiment is starting to shift, or when a customer is only using a fraction of the features they actually purchased. Instead of waiting for problems to surface, he proactively reaches out at the right time with the right message to the right person. Taylor's renewals don't come down to last-minute heroics, and his expansion activities aren't just by chance. They're built over time with consistent, meaningful engagement. And if you're not sure where you fall in those three stories, I hate to break it to you, but not consciously deciding still means you've defaulted to chance. You're leaving your success to luck. Success isn't accidental. It's intentionally engineered. And the best customer relationships don't happen because someone got lucky or had a natural talent for relationship building. They happen because the right actions were taken at the right time. And that just doesn't happen. It's designed. So let's think about it like this. Some people always seem to be in the right place at the right time. They run into the right people at conferences. They have casual conversations that turn into big deals or just happen to check in on a customer at exactly the moment things start to turn. That's not luck. That's manufactured serendipity, intentionally putting yourself in a position where those opportunities can happen. To do that, you need three things: data, clarity, and strategy. So you collect the right data because you can't act on what you don't see. You surface the signals that actually matter, like engagement, usage, and sentiment, not just generic health scores that don't tell the full story. You interpret it clearly because data alone isn't enough. You need to know what it means and what to do with it. Data without action is just noise. You act strategically. This is the difference between being reactive and proactive. It's not about doing more. It's about doing the right things at the right time to create real impact. Because customer relationships, like plants, need balance. Too little attention and they wither. Too much and you smother them. The key is precision, being present in the moments while giving customers the space to grow on their own. Because serendipity isn't random, it's created. Now I know what you're thinking. Let's start gathering data because we want to be a tailor. We're working smarter. We don't want to be Jamie or Alex. So we'll pull in usage analytics from our platform and sales. Sales can add more fields into the CRM. And we'll scrape every transcript from customer calls and scan every email interaction. And we'll track everything. And then we'll be able to do this, right? Wrong. This is a trap. Collecting more data doesn't automatically make you smarter. If anything, it makes decision-making harder. Suddenly, you're buried under so much information that you can't tell what actually matters. More dashboards, more reports, more meetings, trying to figure out what it all means. Instead of action, you get analysis paralysis. The goal is not to collect more. It's to collect what matters. The right signals at the right time that point to an actual next step. Otherwise, you might as well be like Alex and spray and pray, because honestly, you might have more success playing that numbers game. Now, the natural next question I get is, okay, Alyssa, you're telling us we need data, but now when we try to go all in, you're telling us not to. So if collecting data isn't enough, what should we do? Well, my answer is that the answer is simple. You have to figure out what your customers actually experience with your brand. Not just what they do, although that is a factor, but how they feel, what they think, and what actually drives their decisions. And I've dedicated my career to answering this question. And today I'm going to give you the secret, the most common data points that every company needs to get it right, to predict their customer's next move. We look at things like, what are your customers saying when you're not in the room? Are they raving about you or just tolerating you? What words do they use to describe your value? Do they trust you? Do they like you? Do they feel that you are knowledgeable about their industry, their challenges, their nuance? Do you bring value to their experience? And when it's time to renew or solve a new problem, how likely are you to get the first shot at that business? Are they leaning in or pulling away? I also hear from a lot of company leaders, but Alyssa, we use Net Promoter Score and our numbers are always pretty good, but we still got blindsided by losing customers last year. If you're not familiar with NPS, it's a simple 10-point score that helps you bucket your customers into three groups: promoters, passives, and detractors. And you might think someone who falls into the detractor category is headed out the door. And you might be right, but studies done by all the major research companies out there tell us that there's very little correlation between a customer leaving and their NPS. Why? Is it because NPS isn't the right metric? Or are our customers just straight up lying to us? The truth is, it's not really either of those things. The greatest indicator of a churned account: not responding to your survey in the first place. Customers who stop responding aren't just busy, they're disengaging. Lack of response is one of the clearest early signals of churn. And yeah, I'm up here promoting using data in your business, but you can't ignore the human element, that gut feel, because not everything fits neatly into a dashboard. And your team knows when a customer is on the fence, even if the metrics say otherwise. What you have to do is make it easy for them to capture and act on those instincts. These are the signals that actually move the needle. And if you focus on these data points, not just collecting more data for the sake of it, you won't have to react to churn because you'll see it coming before it happens. So now that we have talked about what really matters, like sentiment and perception and consideration and engagement, knowing these data points isn't enough. The real question is, what do you do with it? Now, this is where most companies get stuck. They track a bunch of signals. They might even track the right signals, but they don't know how to turn them into strategy. And it's not just entry-level people who struggle with this. Companies, big or small, cutting edge, or those legacy brands, all have the same Achilles heel when it comes to using their data. So a few years ago, I came up with a cheat sheet and basically designed to help you focus on not treating every customer the same or waiting until that renewal panic sets in. You can focus on where they actually stand. So I'm going to break it down. So I want you to imagine that we're going to plot every customer on a simple grid. The y-axis is the actual value that they're getting from your product. Are they deeply engaged and seeing ROI, or are we just scratching the surface? The x-axis is the perception of your performance. Do they see you as critical to their success or just another tool in the stack? If there's high value and high perception, it's time to grow, upsell, and expand. These are your best case customers. They're getting strong value and they know it. This is where you invest in deepening the relationship. Expansion, upsell, case studies, referrals to new customers, or multi-threading into other areas of the business, because these are your advocates. If you find them getting high value from your products but low perception about your brand, it's time to go on the campaign trail. These customers are getting real value, but they don't fully see it, or they don't credit you for it. Maybe they're using your product, but they don't connect it to their success. Here's where it's time to show your work. Business reviews, success stories, and strategic touch points that make your value unmistakable. Now, if you find yourself in low value and high perception, it's your job to start educating. They might think you're great. They may love your brand, but they're not actually using you to your full potential. And yeah, maybe they love you. Maybe they think you are the best thing that has ever happened to them, but they're missing out on key features or underutilizing your product. These customers need education, targeted enablement, feature adoption efforts, and hands-on training to fully unlock that value. If you find yourself with a customer who is in that bottom quadrant, low value, low perception, it's probably time to move on. And I know nobody wants to hear that we're giving up on a customer because every customer matters and we care so deeply about them. But if they're disengaged and they don't see value and they're not using your product in any meaningful way, well, you have to make a choice. Can you turn it around with a focused effort? Or is it time to cut your losses and stop wasting resources on a customer that just isn't a fit? This cheat sheet is designed to help you move from guessing to strategic action. And instead of treating all of your customers the same, you meet them where they are. And that's how you create real impact. The four-box cheat sheet helps guide your decisions, but any business owner or someone who's worked in the real world knows that customer relationships aren't really that simple. It's not just where a customer falls on the grid. It's how fast they'll move and whether they're worth the effort to save. So we talked earlier about NPS, and there's a reason it's so popular. It's simple, it's easy to understand, and it has become an industry standard. But we've already established that it's not the best predictor of renewal. Instead, we like to use a question that we call consideration. Here's what we're measuring. When the time comes to renew or solve a new problem, how likely are we to get the first shot at their business? Not only is this a great way for us to forecast our renewals or prioritize our expansions, but high consideration has an impact on this four-box cheat sheet. Those customers that are high consideration customers give you time to fix things. Even if they start in a bad spot, they're more likely to move toward that upper right quadrant with the right support. And once they're there, they're hard to dislodge. They've committed to your solution, which gives you some margin for error. Low consideration customers are quite the opposite. Even if you've managed to get them into that upper right quadrant, that high value, high perception, they're one bad experience away from dropping. There's no loyalty, there's no patience. And look, I'd love to tell you that there are all the resources in the world for all of us to spend all of our time working on getting those customers into that upper right quadrant. But let's be honest, there aren't. We can throw headcount at the problem. We can try to hire more people. We can add in service agents and chatbots. But we have to make sure that they don't cost our brand that we've already established. We can go the route that most companies go, where we spend all of our time and attention on the top 20% of our accounts, meaning that we're going to leave the other 80% left to chance. So if you don't want to do that, you have a choice to make sometimes to let an account go, to actively decide that you're not going to invest in a perception campaign or work on enablement, but rather that you're going to let them go. Like everything in business, sometimes there are hidden factors that change your decision making. Sometimes you have to put effort into an account that on paper doesn't seem to be worth it. Sometimes a customer matters for reasons beyond their immediate value. Maybe they're a marquee logo. Maybe they influence an industry you're trying to break into. Maybe leadership sees them as a strategic foothold. In those cases, you might actively choose to hold on a little bit longer, even if the data says otherwise. But here's the key. You have to make it a decision, not a default. Because back to the plant analogy, sometimes a struggling plant isn't worth saving. It's too far gone or something like that. And you're just delaying the inevitable. The same applies to customers. If you're going to fight for them, you have to know why. Because otherwise, you're just watering dead plants. And so I've given you all these data points to track. And in fact, my team tracks anywhere from 25 to 50 data points, depending on the use case. But that's a lot for people who are just starting to get into this. So I'm going to encourage you to add just one data point, one question to your customer experience, to your process. And it's what I call the magic question. Here it is. If we reconnected a year from now, what would need to happen for you to consider this project a success? It forces clarity. Sometimes we as leaders, and especially those in trusted advisor roles, are too afraid to ask questions about the value they can bring. Instead of guessing what matters to your customer, you hear it straight from them. It aligns your strategy, and you can stop chasing engagement for engagement's sake and focus on what actually drives their success. It positions you as a true partner. You're not just delivering a product. You're working alongside them to achieve something meaningful. So before you add another report, another health score, or another playbook, I would start with this, because the best way to predict whether a customer will stay isn't just found in usage analytics spreadsheets or an impending renewal date. It's in their own experiences, because at the end of the day, customer relationships don't fail because we don't care. They fail because we're either too reactive, too scattered, or too overwhelmed with data to act with precision. Too little attention, they disengage. Too much at the wrong time, they tune out. Too much data without clarity, and we miss the moments that actually matter. The balance isn't found in more tools, more dashboards, or more check-ins. It's found in being intentional, choosing the right engagement over just more engagement, using data to drive action, not just analysis, and letting technology enhance human connection, not replace it. So my challenge to you is this: when you leave this room, don't just think about what more you can do, think about what you can do better. Because being in the right place at the right time with the right message, that's not luck. That's the secret ingredient that makes for a great customer experience. And we covered a lot of content today. If you want to roll up your sleeves and start using data to drive your strategy, I'd like to personally invite you to our Predict to Win workshop on April 3rd. We're putting together a small mastermind. We're holding seats for attendees of this event. So please join us, and we would love to help you go deeper. If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, look for Alyssa Nolte and search for the Notorious Plant Killer. It was great to talk to you all today, and I hope you enjoyed my conversation.
Thank you for joining us in today's forward-thinking session of Human Connection Done Right. As we transition to our next expert speaker, remember that together we are redefining the future. To stay engaged and informed, visit revenue-bydesign.com, where together we will be deliberate, be intentional, and be successful.